We thank you so much for your presence here with us. And your presence is as wonderful as it is, and it kind of can be moments like it feels tingly and lovely and nice. You don't just come to be nice. You come to be God. Holy Spirit, we invite you again to be God in our midst. God, our helper. God, our wisdom. God, our courage. God, our strength. God, our healer. God, our salvation. I felt just as I pulled this thing across, I think there was someone that just sort of whispered, oh, that felt really nice, but nothing really has changed. Everything has changed. How many people got up in the night just to watch the incredible power of the atmosphere and the universe last night? Wasn't it all inspiring? Two of us, three of us. Wasn't it? It was incredible. And I felt this morning, well, as I was sort of watching it, I think it was two or something, it felt like, one, it was just, God, you are so powerful. You are so in control. I was in awe of just the power of that was demonstrated all over the sky. And then yet part of it was too the kind of this assuredness that I would be okay because come morning the sun would shine. You know, it was gonna be still. Sooner or later the storm was gonna stop and it was gonna be still. And I'd feel the sun again. And so I felt like this morning that was a bit of what I think that we're being invited into. To embrace and be in awe of God's power. To move more powerfully than we have ever hoped for maybe even a long time. And to know even if we don't, there's going to be a morning come where all is put to right, where all is healed, all is restored. So this morning, as we are kind of celebrating what is definitely a move or an invitation of God's Spirit to pray and to fast, I felt really strongly that I wasn't to do a sermon. And that was not because I couldn't be bothered. It genuinely was that I felt like we are the sermon this morning. So one of the things that we've been stirring on for our next term, and Niall was just wonderful last week. I have to feel it. The vibe of it, you know, and sort of I hadn't been feeling any vibes or anything around on what to lean into next. And Niall just shared with me this week, I really feel like we're to go into a time of remembering. And it just was, as the words came out, it was just like, oh, that's it. And since then, I've been sort of reading through lots of, all throughout Scripture, our invitation is to remember, to call to mind. Don't forget. Why? Because it's easy to forget. It's easy to all of the things that God has done, all of the things that He said for the cares of the world, for the busyness of life, for the things that haven't happened the way we want, disappointment, disillusionment, all of it causes us to forget what God has said and what God has done. And so this morning, part of our 40 hours of prayer and fasting is to encourage one another and to speak the testimonies of what God not has done years ago, but what God has done in us and through us in this season. So the mic is open. We've made it less scary to go up on stage, and so it's just right down here. If no one shares, I'll be okay. I just did 5 days of prayer and silence, so I'm all right with silence. But I believe that there are people here, and maybe it's you've never, ever come forward, and you've never shared anything, but I think today is your day. There's nothing magical about up the front, but what there is incredibly powerful is the testimony that you're holding right now. There is someone in this room that needs to hear your story. You know, part of your story, not a whole life story, because I'm getting hungry now. So I'm just going to pray, and as I pray, if there's something that you think, oh, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, I'm just going to pray now. Holy Spirit, would you come? For those of us who have something in our kitty that someone else desperately needs this morning that has come from you, Holy Spirit, God, I pray for a release of the spirit of generosity to share that testimony this morning. So, who's up? Sure. Yeah, yep. Well, yeah, that's fine.
I'm leaping at this opportunity because I have never been asked to give my testimony. And if it's one thing I've found in Christendom is there's very few people who know me. So, I am the youngest daughter of a World War II veteran. I have very few peers because there are very few people of my age group who understand my upbringing. So my father came from a bone-breakingly violent home, and he went on to lose his sister, who got pregnant at the age of 15 when she was made to go and work in a hotel, and she was disappeared. And they never saw her again, and they searched for her for the rest of their lives. She's okay. She had a full life over in Australia, had many children, and we have cousins over there that we finally found. And my father's youngest brother, died with a picture of his lost sister on his bedside cabinet. So it was pretty cool. So closure and a happy ending. He went on to go into World War II. And with all its atrocities and pain and knowing that he had killed so many people, he came out a secret alcoholic. And later on in life, he met my mother, who was an interesting piece of work herself. She was sort of a created narcissist. She was a cotton wool baby. She was born a month premature, and she was coddled. And she felt like she was the center of the universe, but at the same time, yeah. So she was interesting, she was great, but neither of them what you wanted for parents, really, in an ideal world, you know. So my upbringing was very violent. My father, he had brain injury from the war, and he could not cope with kids. So it was terrible. So what I'm getting at was that my life was very scary. And you love the people that scare you, you know, but it was also filled with rejection because I was a child who was bent over like a letter C. I was bullied at school, and I went on to move over to Waiheke away from my father and became quite a seriously neglected child, denied medical help when I needed it, which is why I'm deaf now. And my friend came and moved to the island with her mum, and I was so thankful. But apparently, and now when I look at my daughter, I can see that I was a very pretty young girl, and apparently I had a lot of attention paid to me, not directly, but through my friend. She started to reject me. She wouldn't go out with me. She wouldn't say, hey, I'm doing this, let's do this together and that. And we had always been very close. And so my teenage years were interesting, and I was extremely lonely. And I have had serious issues with rejection all my life. But looking back on it at the moment, there are times when that rejection was saving me. The alternative would have been awful, self-abuse and all that sort of, probably drug abuse, incessant partying, probably teenage pregnancy, and all that sort of thing. So at the time, it was desperately painful to live with that rejection and wonder why I was, you know, being rejected by my peers. I had two offers of marriage from old men by the age of 15, which was unbelievably awful. But when you're feeling rejected and that, take heart. If God doesn't seem to be on your side and putting you into the community and you seem to live with a lot of rejection, sometimes it's saving you from something terrible and a lifelong time of suffering. So this might be aimed more at teenagers, but just turn to God and get your relationship really strong with Him, and it will do you so much good. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I think what the word for remembrance, I was taught that you, I battle to hear God, I battle to see what sometimes He does, but I can always remember if I journal it right, like, God, what are you doing? Are you speaking to me? I can't hear you, I can't see what you're doing in those dark times, but I remember what He's done. Yeah. And then I go, oh, remember all that He's done. I think last night I let us give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercies. But that's not what I'm sharing. just quickly, cholesterol problem forever. I think it was up to 11 the notes. So anyone make it medical 11, that's like you should be going, yeah. And so medication, all the rest. But last year, I prayed about it, and I came back with a 4. And I was like, what? No, that's just the, you know, and we prayed about it. But I was like, nah, it can't be, eh? So I was like, is it? Last week, doctor's like, you're all good. And so, yeah. But test me means do it again. So anyone got a high blood pressure? I mean, not blood pressure, high cholesterol. We'll throw in blood pressure if you want to. Put up your hands, because test me means that I can give a test me. God, do it again. So please put up your hand if you've got high cholesterol. Anyone next to them? Can I just?
Yeah, sure.
Whoever's sitting next to those people, we're gonna pray quickly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just so stand up as you put your hand up, and we just gather around quickly and pray.
Father, I thank you that you're a miracle worker.
Yeah.
And as you've done, you will do it again.
Yeah.
And Father, I thank you that your Spirit is powerful to do what only you can do.
Yeah.
So I pray, Father, that you lower this cholesterol and all these sons and daughters of yours in Jesus' name, because you're the healer. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Yeah, wonderful. Anyone else?
Just another testament of healing. So our youngest son has another testimony of healing. Our younger son has had terrible cracks in his feet for many years. And that went on my audacious ask list. And last night, he'd had amazing feet for the last couple of weeks. And then a couple of little cracks had opened up again on his toes. Last night, I went to pray for those, and he goes, no, Mum, they're gone. So, yeah.
Amazing. Wonderful. Hey, we're getting going now. Come on. Who's up? The lady with the best son-in-law in the world, I think.
I just want to say God is a good, good father. Oh, it just makes me weep. But, you know, those audacious asks, even what you didn't write on the board, he knows about. And he answers, and he cares. And I just want to encourage you all, just keep seeking God, asking God. And I've always said I had to give my testimony in three words, it would be God is faithful. And to the end, God is faithful. He's a good, good father. And I pray for each and every one of you that that will be your testimony in every area of your life. He's a good, good father. I love him so much. And I just really speak blessing over all of you and encourage you all with those. You can't be too audacious for God. I love that word. Yeah. But, you know, God is so good. So, yeah, be sure.
Thank you. Well done. You can just keep coming up. So you don't have to wait for the next person to sit down. There's a nice place to sit up here. And there we go. That's what we want to see.
I just want to be thankful. And I remember over the years this is a shout out for all the men here. What an amazing husband and father I've got. He's not my father, but, you know, he's my husband, but he was a father, is a father, and grandfather. And I just say to all you guys, you know, it's a hard road sometimes, but, you know, I just look today, and I actually sent him a Father's Day card because he was such an amazing dad to his kids, and I just see our kids growing up as such incredible men and incredible fathers. And I think, you know, I just said to him this morning, you know, you were the one who, forgotten the word, that, you know, showed them how to be a good father. And so, dads, good on you. It's not always easy, but, yeah, keep going.
Bacon to celebrate, mate. Bacon to celebrate.
I just wanted to share that other night I was in the prayer room and I was praying through the board and reading through the board. And I don't know if anyone has, when you're in there, read through it, because it's just like a mountain of heartbreak on that wall. And I had this moment where I was getting to the bottom of the list and I thought, man, there's so much like pain on the board and so much longing for things. And then I really felt like God says, this is a board of hope. Because we can pray for all of those things, we have hope that those can and will be filled. And I really like now that you said that about remembrance. Because I started a list of remember when, because it's so easy to forget. And I love that in the Bible, God tells them to like set up a monument so that you remember. And because like who remembers? Like, well, I think you said a couple of weeks ago, we sit in this church and it's been how many weeks, well, how many months since we've been in here, and now it's the norm. But remember when, not that long ago, we had nowhere to go and the hall was going to be closed and there was, you know, we had tried this and we had tried that and we ran into things. And remember when COVID came along and we couldn't. No, but remember when, I know, but remember when we couldn't figure out a way to get back into the hall. There were mandate restrictions and this and that, and we tried X, Y, and Z, and, you know, down the list, and the only thing we could come up with was, oh, what if we met in these, like, small groups in people's houses, and it's going to be a real pain, and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, actually, the fruit that came out of that was, like, really, really good. Yeah. And even just on a, like, personal connection level, we've met people, the Codlins probably wouldn't have spent as much time as we did with you guys. And you guys got to speak into our kids' lives to see that, like, easily, and I mean this in the most respectful way, the oldest people in the church have this incredibly strong faith and still looking to, you know. So all those things, remember when, remember men. And I love that we have the board of audacious answers. And there's already a couple up there, which is incredible. I feel like we should be making a bigger deal out of this, but, you know. And there are going to be more. We, Sherilyn, you need to, like, rip that little one off and put it on there, because there are a few that have been, like, partially answered. But I feel like we walked past that board for how many weeks and nothing was on there.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this going to start to get awkward? Where, you know, where we've got all these lists of asks and no answers. But now they're starting to come through. And that's going to be a time when we can go, oh, remember when?
Yeah.
Remember when we spent ages praying? And then we saw this and we saw that. So, yeah, I just was really encouraged that that mountain of asks for anybody else would be a mountain of trouble. But because we have a God who answers prayer, it's a mountain of hope.
Brilliant. Wonderful. Who's up?
Hi there. Just an amazing scripture from Malachi chapter 3. Then those, verse 16, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord heeded and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him, before the Lord, of those who feared the Lord and thought on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Key thing there was that the Lord writes when we talk together about God, when we gather together in the name of the Lord, when we pray for one another. The Lord hears that and he writes it in his book of remembrance. And that just really blows me away. God bless you all.
Thank you. Wonderful. Oh, we're on to a good thing now. Come on up.
Thanks. So I just felt it on my heart to share. You know, this Friday when we were just praising and worshiping in here, for me it was a big moment of remember when, and I look back to the previous years, and I was in a very dark space, and I remember when on Friday nights I wouldn't really remember where I was or who I was with or what I was doing, and here I am praising the Lord, and the Lord has saved me, and I don't know if I would be here without him, and he saved my life, and I spent so many years trying to fill this void inside my heart, and it was a God-shaped hole in my heart, and it was only something that he was able to fill. And I'm just so grateful to be where I am today and to have the people that support me around me. And it's all glory to God, because without him, I couldn't do this journey. So.
Thank you. Well done. Wonderful.
I haven't shared this before, but about 22 years ago, I went in for a normal eye test, and the optometrist said, you've got a cyst in your eye. And they said, well, I said, well, are you sure? And he says, no, well, I'm going to refer you to a specialist. And I went to see him, and this guy checked me out. He said, you've got cancer in your eye. You talk about fear. I was suffering fear quite a while, and I just didn't know how to deal with it. But I knew there were people around me who were praying for me at the time. Even people up in Wellsford, you know, the church up there was praying for me. And, it was hard. And then, so they referred me to Christchurch to have the operation for the treatment, and they didn't realise how bad the tumour was growing in the back of my eye. It was quite bad. So they put iodine in the back, and that was killing all the bad cells, but on top of that, it was killing all the good cells as well. And so I was gradually losing sight in this eye, And but yeah, we tried the treatment, and for about a few years, I kept, you know, I got tired. I got really tired. Life was quite hard. I had a difficult job working with people with special needs. And so as I got through it, I went for treatments every six months to see how it was going. And I think it was in 2007 or 2008, the tumour had started to grow back quite badly. To save my life, I had to actually have my eye removed. So that's what's happened to about 2007, 2008. What I learned from this is that I took in all the prayers from other people. And I had, when I was in Christchurch, when I woke up from my treatment, there was so much light shining through the room I was in. And to me, that was hope. And I just had hope in God that He will keep healing me. And I'm not just the healing, but just having the faith as well. And I'm just thankful, that I am alive today, and that I thank God the perseverance helped me through this. So I just, it's, it's one of those things you remember and you just want to sort of thank the God for.
Derek, do you mind just staying here? And just a couple of Derek's friends gather around. Derek, just as you were talking, I feel like God is wanting to instill something in you that you think has long since lost. And where what you've lost, I think in the place of loss, He's wanting to restore something so much more. So can a couple of people come gather around? And I just really, in front of everyone, to honor you, is just follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you. We lay hands on Derek now, and we say, what the enemy has meant to rob, to steal, and to take away from Derek, Holy Spirit, would you just come now in power, and in your authority, we speak life to him. And where what he has lost, God, would you restore 100-fold into him? Derek, I feel like you're going to be invited into a season where you see more than people with two eyes. That God, I pray for a spirit of discernment for Derek to be able to walk into a room and to see what it is the Spirit is doing, to perceive what it is the Spirit is doing. And you have an incredibly humble, wonderful way about you, Derek, and God is going to use that to see strongholds broken. Bless him now, God. Thank you for your move, for your power. Thank you that nothing in your kingdom is lost. And we thank you that we get to see, we get to be part of your redemptive power in Derek's life. Amen. Wonderful. Anyone else? Oh, yep. Oh, look, they're all coming up now. Yeah. Well done.
I just want to follow on what Matt was saying. When I was in the prayer room, I just felt, that those were needs, and there were many. And I just felt, like Matt, the weight of those, the burden of those, but so does God. And I felt that scripture in Matthew 11 that says when you... you cast your burdens on him, and his yoke is easy, and his, he can take those burdens. He knows how to answer them. And his way and his timing, perhaps not as you expect, but he will, as he is a God of miracles and hope, as Matt said. So, that came to mind.
Cool. Wonderful. Thank you.
Morning. God's just reminding me about just continuing to step out. I've always had a huge heart for wanting to see miracles and God's healing, because you know the Bible says in these days, greater works will be done. But that's totally reliant on us. You know, God can't be here, so He's just working powerfully through us. And there was many years I lost my brother-in-law, my best friend, my father to cancer. And I wasn't a Christian when I lost my father, but my friend and my brother-in-law I was. And obviously just pushing into prayer, and you know, it didn't end the way I was hoping it was going to. But there was a lot of comfort for them, and you know, God still worked in amongst that. And our neighbours, they don't know God, and all of a sudden, beautiful people, she got very sick, and basically her large intestine started leaking, so she can't eat, and you just feel very lethargic for, you know, pretty much most of the day. And anyhow, I really want to see God's power at work. I want to see her being healed. And there was one day, she basically got progressively worse and worse and worse, and then she couldn't live at home anymore, and was down in South Auckland in hospital. And the husband had already come to terms that she wasn't going to be here anymore, that she didn't have long to live. And I was just working down there one day, finished work, and God said, go. So I went down there, and it took about an hour to get a car park. And I didn't have an appointment or anything. Like, I was just like, okay, God, I really feel like you're telling me to go, so I'm going to go. And then, you know, I'm just randomly turning up. Hey, I need to go and see this lady. Is it possible? You know, I don't know whether they have visitors periods of time. And when somebody's that sick, normally, you know, you just have a very small window. Anyhow, God made a way. And I ended up being in this room alone with her. I hadn't seen her in probably about 6 weeks, maybe even more. And she had lost at least half of her weight. So I don't know if you're familiar with people who go through cancer, but you know, it's horrific, right? It just eats away at your body. She didn't have cancer, but I can't remember the ramifications. Anyhow, I was just like, God, oh my goodness, this is huge. Like, basically, I think she had a few days to go, pretty much, if nothing was going to happen. And I did not feel like my faith was big enough. I was just like, okay, God, you got me here. And I've been here before many times, and just prayed for her. I put on few worship songs, worship's really important, just to, you know, breathe life. And I found it really hard to look at her and just say, look, you're not going to die. Because in my mind, I was like, wow, I've seen people like this before, and I've lost people like this before. Anyhow, just prayed for her, and then came home, and then about a month later, she turned up at home, and she's fine to this very day. So it's just remembering that. I mean, my son gave me this beautiful card this morning, Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, acknowledge God, and He will set you straight your paths. Don't rely on your understanding. And that was, that day was a big thing for me, because I'd lost, a lot of people before that. So don't get down, you know, because God is listening to our prayers. He is comforting the people that are needing healing, and regardless of the outcome, you know, God's in it. So just keep pushing in.
Wonderful. Now, why don't you come on up? We've got we've had a prayer room, which I know some people, especially in the middle of the night, which is wonderful for our health and safety requirements, have been praying at home during those, you know, wee early hours of the evening and morning. But we just, one of the things that we did in the prayer room, and we'll have a look at it, because we're going to leave it set up the way it is,
because it really does feel like it's sort of creating a really sacred space, a place of encounter. But we put a journal in there, and I just asked Niall to read through some of the journal entries again, and just allow this to encourage you, allow it to speak to you, because what the Holy Spirit has done is used someone to be able to speak to you what he'd like to share with you.
Awesome. Just while I'm reading some of these, I obviously won't read through all of them, but I have picked a few. Just while I'm reading them, if you still have something to say or share, and if you're sitting there and your heart's pounding and maybe you feel a little awkward coming up the front, or you feel like your hand's going to shake and your voice is going to quiver, just put that aside. Everyone here that has a testimony has the freedom to share it. Vineyard itself is, everyone gets to play. Feel free just to come up the front if you do want to share as well. So I'll just go through some of these. The first one I'm going to read is that all who call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And I know that's such a simple and potentially a cliche Christian thing to say, but the Word of God says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, will be saved. So let our heart, let our prayer, let our cry be for those in our lives. And there were many on that prayer wall of people who, children, parents, and brothers and sisters, family members, friends, who don't know Jesus, who may have turned away from Jesus, a desperation of God, capture their heart. Their salvation may come, that as you knock on the door, Jesus, they may answer. They may open it and allow you to come in and sit on the throne of their heart. Let our prayer be that those people would have an inspiration and desire to call upon the name of the Lord. And we know that he is faithful to answer. While praying for Ine, a sense that this ground is holy, a set apart place for God. This extends to the Dragidi House. Dragidi House will be a safe refuge. All that live there will be blessed with freedom from the spirit of addiction. Addiction has no authority here. The ripple effect from this goes far beyond and bigger than we can ever imagine. I already felt that this time of prayer and fasting would extend to this enclosure of God's protection to the surrounding households, that they would distinctly remember this weekend as a time of healing, clarity of mind, and a freedom from fear. A new move of God is coming. I pictured it like being out in the surf. You have to push out through the breakers to get to the back in position to catch the wave. If we just play in the shallows, we will miss it. If we stay where we can touch the bottom, all we will get is the after effects. The blunt, sometimes brutal and scary power of the wave knocking us off our feet. We must push past. The leaders' roles here to keep an eye on the flock, especially the kids and the youth, to show them the easy way out and to not give up, but also to keep an eye out for the waves and to help them catch it, to be ready and in position. Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and all authority belongs to him, and all enemies have been defeated and are beneath his feet, and we are in Christ, seated in heavenly places. By the blood of Christ and his name, all enemies are beneath our feet and rendered powerless. Our body is his temple. Our life is Christ. This is his business. The audacious ask is always preceded with the pre-decided yes. Yes to his will, whatever, wherever, whoever it may be. Yes to absolute surrender. Know the Lord. Trust his character. He is God. The words of a hymn, "What a Friend We Have Found in Jesus," came to mind, especially these lines. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I looked at the wall and said to God, there are so many of them, Lord. And he replied, I care about every single one. Isaiah 40 verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And I thought this one was good. Prayer for Lyndon Nile. Bringing the word in your heart. But, you know, as I said last week, you know, maybe Lyndon and I should be on that prayer wall as well. But, you know, for all the leaders that are here, like this revival in this place, you know, we talk about breaking the walls down around the city, but may it start with the walls that are around our heart. May it start with us here in this place. To know that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that this is his house, this is his business. We are his people. And each one of us has the light and salvation of God. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our life. Of whom shall we be afraid?
That would be a good segue. So we wanted to finish today by praying for, and I know Niall shared last week, but we just wanted to have Grace and the kids up, and what we're going to do is just finish our gathering this morning by praying for them. So those of you who don't know, Niall has just come on staff as an associate pastor, which is just feels so good and right. And what we want to do is, yes, he has taken on a role, but anyone who knows what roles like that are, is it's a weight that everyone in the family carries, and so to one degree or another. So Grace and the kids, why don't you guys come on up, Niall as well, and then we're just going to gather around. So if you would like to just be able to pray a blessing over this incredible Preslin White family, why don't you do that? Why don't you come on up as well once they're here? Keep going. There we go. Come on down. That's not all there, kids. Don't worry. This is Tribe. Grace was on Tribe this morning, so Tribe's coming back. And so we just want to take an opportunity to be able to pray for these guys and bless the call of God on their life. Bless the more that they'll be part of as well. And just to really bless that where he calls, he equips and he enables as well. So why don't we stand and you gather around Niall and Grace. And this will be us. So if you don't know these guys and you don't want to pray for them, well, that's not very nice. But no, the coffee machine's going, so there's barista coffees for all the dads. There's food that's coming up, but I know you've been fasting for 40 plus hours, but what's a few more minutes? And especially in the light of blessing this incredible family and all that they mean to us. Grace, did you have anything you wanted to add?
It's really lovely to continue being part of this church whānau in a greater way. And I know that for Niall, he's always been in jobs that he's just done it because it's the next thing in front of him. But he hasn't felt a sense of satisfaction in the purpose behind the job. He's done a good job and he's asked for God's grace to do that well. But he's always, for as long as I've known him, had a heart to serve God in a way where he can lead people into deeper relationship with God, where he can be working in ministry. And so it's so beautiful to see Niall's faithfulness in the jobs that he has done, and now to see God open a door for him to do something that's really on his heart. So I'm excited about that. And we have been part of the church for a while now, so that's not new, but it's beautiful to see new people coming in and to connect with people and to really strengthen the community that we do have so that we can be a light to our beautiful town.
Wonderful. No, I doesn't say any more now. He's all right.
It's been it's an absolute privilege and honor. And, you know, in some ways I've been training 35 years for this moment, so there you go. But one of the things that I wanted to share, and I actually wrote it in that book when I came and was in the prayer thing, but you know, this was it's one of those paradoxes where it's an easy decision, but it's also a really hard decision to make, because you, whatever it is, like whether it's ministry or not, you want to do the right thing. You want to do where God, you want to go where God is leading. You want to make sure that you've heard for sure that this is the position that God wants me to be in. One of the things that when we were at the 5-week Ellerslie course, and we felt like, hey, this is where God was leading us, we freshly laid it before his feet over and over and over and over again. And every time we did that, the more we felt stronger that this was the right thing to do. I had a picture one time when I was praying of me kneeling here, actually right here, facing the cross up there, giving adoration to God, and the church was completely empty. And so when I came for the prayer in the morning, in the early hours in the morning, I was reminded of that, and this was like 2 months ago, I was reminded of that, and so it was an absolute honor to come up the front, church empty, kneeling down before the cross, arms wide, in adoration to God, and just seeing that fulfilled. It's such a small thing, but it's all these little things that we look for that just little God's signatures towards, hey, this is what God's doing. And let that be an encouragement for you that may be praying, God, what is the next thing for me? Could be anything. Could be family, could be job, could be finances, it could be community, could be church, whatever it is that you're going through. Lord, what is this little signatures that you can give me that this is where you want me to go? And God often will only show you enough light to take the next step. Because if he shows you too much, you'll either run away or you'll do it in pride or in your own strength. And we got to empty out our pockets and go, Lord, all I have is lint. Is that what it's called? Lint? Yeah. All I have is lint in my pocket, but God goes, I can use that.
All right, so let's just pray. So we'll, you guys, I'll wrap it up at the end. But yeah, just and obviously this is just this isn't the first and last time we pray. This is just the starting as we mean to go on. So it is about committing as a church family to pray for these guys and to continue to cover them in prayer. So pray out.
Pray for Niall and Grace and the family, Lord, that that this would be a time of enormous blessing and overflow for them as a family and in the ministry, just the way that you're working in power, that revival will actually be here and now, and that we will see your presence just lighting this place up, Lord. And Lord, we pray that your presence and your glory would just light up this wonderful family. And we pray and commit them to you in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them, that you be with them, that you would lead them and guide them. And thank you, Lord, that you have appointed them for this season. And as their parents, Father, we just thank you for Heather and I having the great opportunity to be with them on this journey and their children. So bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, well, I was just sort of processing, just really feeling God putting his hand on that. You're just such a power couple. Grace, I remember you, it was 20 years ago when my wife did the First Wave Army, and Grace set probably a world record for a number of sit-ups. You know, like the second place would have been somebody who might have done 100 sit-ups, and I'm pretty sure Gracie did 1,500. It was absolutely insane. But I just feel like, you know, God's just saying, you know, you guys are just such a powerhouse couple, you know? And he's really just going to bind you guys closer and closer together and just give you the same heart, the same focus, the same celebrations, you know, and you'll be there through the highs and lows and right into old age. And, you know, you'll still have that power. You'll still have that supernatural burning and anointing on your lives. So thank you, Lord.
Yes, I just want to encourage you just to walk in the anointing of the Lord. Yeah, that you don't get overburdened or anything like that, but he'll make the path very easy for you as long as you just heed to his voice.
Lord, I thank you for Niall and Grace's obedience to step up into this role. And Lord, I pray that you bless them. I pray that they have this supernatural covering of your Holy Spirit in their home, and yeah, just really bless their family as they step out in what you have for them. Thank you, Lord.
I'm just reminded, just standing here, and I didn't have the words for it at the time, but we actually met these guys in the Mount on our summer holiday, and it felt like an audacious ask when we very first, very gently touched on this idea, because we thought they would go run a mile. And so, God, I thank you for courage. I thank you for our courage and what felt like the impossible. And God, for more than that, I thank you that for the journey of the time they had away, the space to reflect and to put this before you. So now, God, as they stand here in this really holy place, God, we pray that you would give them all they need, every moment of every day, that they would not feel the overbearing weight of this role, but that you would carry them, that they would rely on you, that they would lean on you, that you will build your church, God. Niall does not build the church, you do. So God, let them take that with them today. And for their precious kids, may this change in their lifestyle, may they look back on it in years to come and go, man, I'm so glad my dad did this. Jesus' name.
Yeah. So, Father, we bless them. We commission Niall into this role. We thank you for the authority that you have placed on him. And, God, we commit as friends, as family, as fellow followers of Jesus, to pray for them, to pray for him. God, we thank you for the gifts and talents that he already brings, but God, I thank you that you have more in store for him. And we are committed as followers of Jesus, as Mahareng Vineyard, to pray and to stand alongside in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Wonderful.